Well, good morning, Northridge Church. Welcome home. Welcome to the family. I want to start out by giving a quick shout out to Brighton, to Webster, and to online, the rest of our family joining us remotely. And I just want to encourage you guys this morning. Congratulations, you've made it. I don't know if you know this, March 10th is a special day. For one, it is the first Sunday they've asked me to share, so that's pretty cool for me. But the more I started processing and mulling through that, March 10th, I was like, wait a minute, I know why they gave me March 10th. It is Daylight Saving Sunday, so all of y'all lost an hour of sleep, whether you realize it and set your clock, or whether or not your iPhone just took care of you and you didn't realize it, you lost an hour of sleep. That's why you're feeling a little groggy. That's why I'm feeling a little groggy. So let's just make a commitment from the get-go. You're going to try to stay awake, I'm going to try to stay awake, and if we start dozing off, we're going to give each other grace, all right? All right, so what are we doing this morning? Well, they asked me to start off by just sharing a little bit about who I am. So I thought, you know, what better way to do that than to introduce my family? So I'm going to throw my family right there up on the screen. My wife, Alyssa, and my three-year-old son, Reed. We are privileged to call Northridge our home church, and it's been such an awesome opportunity to get to know you all. We also have the privilege of serving particularly the students at Northridge. So they gave me the stage, so I'm going to take a few moments to shamelessly plug our student ministry, NYM. We meet every single week on Wednesdays from 6:30 to 8:30. If you are either in 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, or 12th grade in high school, I want to personally invite you. We would love to have you on Wednesdays. We get together, we eat snacks, we play games, we talk about what's going on in our lives. We open up God's word to see what he has to say about our lives, and then we pray together. So if you do not attend NYM and you're in that age bracket, that grade bracket, I would just personally like to invite you. We'd love to have you even this Wednesday. All right, so we are in a series on prayer, Dear God, and Drew has been doing a fantastic job at showing us the what and the why of prayer. He's been calling us to pray. And it's been an awesome time just reflecting on what prayer is. But over the next couple of weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to pivot towards the practical. And we're going to look at some ways to pray, the how of prayer. And we're going to give you some postures of prayer, some ways to pray. And today what we're going to look at is prescriptive prayers. We're talking about praying scripture. Now, oftentimes when we pray, we just say the first thing that comes to our mind. And honestly, that's oftentimes the best thing to say. But there comes a certain time where often we don't really know what to say to God. And praying scripture is a great way to bridge that awkward gap. Because if we're just being honest, let's address the elephant in the room. Prayer can be awkward, right? Drew has been telling us that prayer is a conversation. And if it is a conversation, then what we know of other conversations must also be true of prayer. And that is that sometimes conversations are awkward, right? Have any of you ever had an awkward conversation? I know I have. And so I was trying to think, okay, why sometimes can conversations be awkward? Sometimes conversations can be awkward because we don't have the context of the conversation. We don't really know what's being discussed. And so I thought a great illustration of this was me in middle school. So I don't know about you how far away you are from middle school, but I remember middle school being incredibly awkward. I felt awkward, right? I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. I was sweaty all the time. And I also am just kind of an awkward person by nature. I have an interesting style. So I can vividly remember one time showing up to church. I had sandals on with socks pulled all the way above my knee. Why? I don't know. It was warm. All right. I also was wearing plaid shorts, and my polo had a popped collar, but that wasn't enough. So I figured out that you can actually get a second polo on top of the first polo. And if one popped collar was cool, double popped collars had to be doubly cool, right? On top of all that, I watched anime, and so they wore goggles on their heads. Still don't really know why, but I thought it would be cool. I found some ski goggles in my dad's closet. I put them on my head, and I pushed up my hair, and now this is middle school Bailey. So what about middle school Bailey? Bailey felt awkward, but he wanted friends. So I remember in multiple social settings, just like trying to jump into conversations with people, just like, I guess this is how you make friends, right? I don't know, that's pretty awkward. So I would just kind of step into conversations with upperclassmen and just try to fake it till I could make it, and I never really did. You can picture Bailey, middle school Bailey, jumping in the middle of your conversation and you're already starting to feel awkward. They felt the same way. Why? Because I didn't really know the context of either that conversation or really how to socially interact with any type of high schooler. But oftentimes, I think this is how prayer can be for some of us. We don't know the context of the conversation. See, God has been speaking to humanity since the moment he created them. And there's a lot that has been said, a lot that has been compiled in God's word. And sometimes we're ignorant of most of this conversation, so we jump into conversation with God not knowing the context, and yeah, sometimes prayer is awkward. Another reason why conversation can be awkward is because we don't know the person that we're speaking to. Right? Let's jump back to middle school Bailey. I have a wonderful illustration that makes me feel so uncomfortable to talk about it. So Bailey was awkward. But something else happened in middle school, and that was that previously, females were disgusting and gross, right? You know, like, women are just the worst, right? That was elementary Bailey, okay? I apologize. Something changed in middle school, and I can't quite, you know what happened, right? So, all that to say, all of a sudden, I was like, man, I wish I had some friends that were girls. And there was this one girl, she was a redhead, her name was Alyssa, and if you remember, the woman up there on the screen was Alyssa, so as awkward as this is about to get, it worked out in the end. I wanted to befriend this girl, Alyssa. And honestly, up to that point, I didn't really have a lot of friends that were female. The ones that I did have, they were like tomboys. And so we interacted in this way. When guys get together, I don't know, we just hit each other. Like, it's just a part of our interactions. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. All I know is it was my situation. So all I knew is I wanted Alyssa to be my friend. And I didn't really know her, but I knew that when I saw my guys, I kind of just hit them up. So there was a period of time where every time I interacted with Alyssa, the first thing I would do is just hit her up across the back of the head. So I didn't know the person, right? First off, she was a woman. I didn't really get women. Apparently, women don't like to get hit the way that guys appreciate it. Secondly, Alyssa as an individual, she really didn't like getting hit, right? And this was an ongoing thing. It was a few weeks in a row where I started the conversation. But her dad, he really didn't like me hitting her every time I saw her, right? All that to say, the conversations and the conversations that followed, very awkward, right? Why? I didn't know the person. And for many of us, this is how it is with God. We don't really know him, what he's like. And so when we pray, we don't really know what to say. But the good news is this, and I love this quote from Pastor Robbie Gallaty. He said, "You don't need to know everything about God to worship him." I'll read that again. You don't need to know everything about God to worship him. And the same is true of prayer. I want to encourage you guys. You don't need to know everything about God to talk to him in prayer. Just know that if you're fairly ignorant of who he is, those conversations are probably going to be awkward at first. One last thing came to mind as I thought about this area. Well, what is another reason conversation can be awkward? Sometimes conversations are awkward because the subject is sensitive. You know what I'm talking about. There are some things you don't like to discuss. And anytime you are forced in a situation to bring up those things that you don't like talking about, the conversation gets a little bit weird, uncomfortable. And oftentimes the things that we need to talk to God about most are sensitive in nature. So we should expect that sometimes the conversation will be awkward. But as awkward as prayer can be, I also think that prayer is an instinct. What do I mean by this? I am a bit of a fan of history. I'm not a history buff because I've met some history buffs and I'm not quite there, but I do like history a little bit and I read quite a bit. I also love anthropology. There was a time in my life where I thought that was gonna be my field of study, studying humanity and what humanity does and what they're like. And one of the things that's interesting is that if you study human beings across the centuries, across the cultures, across the context, across the continent, they pray, right? It's very interesting that there are a few things that humans hold in common. One of them is prayer. You can't study humanity without studying religion. They almost go hand in hand. And we even experience this in our context, right? When news of a hurricane or a disaster, a tragedy arises, what happens? People pray. I think a great way that you can visualize this is for any of us who were watching the Bills game a year ago, right? Two players came in contact with each other. And the result was tragic. Damar Hamlin had a cardiac arrest on the field. And for the next hour, something incredible happened. People from across religious spectrums, whether they were religious or non-religious, took a knee and prayed. It was just the most natural thing for us to do in response to that tragedy, broadcast it for the world to see. You know, even if you study the way we think, it's almost as if we are geared to pray. What do I mean by this? Computers, they process information. Animals, they live in response to instinct. humans talk about what's going on and then move forward. The way you think is conversational. And there doesn't really seem to be a reason why that is. Why do humans talk to themselves as if somebody else is listening inside their head? I would position that perhaps it's because one of the most primal instincts that God has given us is prayer. I love what Justin Early said of prayer. He says, humanity seems like we are always looking for someone who is looking for us. We always just seem to have this inner desire to pray and to talk as if there's somebody who at any moment could be listening in on the conversation. I think prayer comes to us organically, but I believe it also still needs to be refined. What do I mean by this? What does prayer needing to be refined mean? We talked about this a little bit last week, right? So you remember Drew was talking about the Lord's Prayer, right? Luke 11, verse 1, it starts with this way. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And yet we see in response to this, Jesus doesn't say, hey, prayer comes naturally to you. You know, you're good. You don't need to be taught. It doesn't need to be refined at all. He doesn't say, hey, you've prayed a few times before, so you're good to go. Just keep doing what you're doing. No, the disciples reach out to Jesus and say, hey, can you teach us to pray? And Jesus' answer is yes. And then he not just says yes, he shows them how to pray. Father, hallowed be your name. And we're not going to get into the Lord's Prayer. We talked about it yesterday. All I wanted to say is they said, hey, God, teach us to pray. And his answer was, here's some words to say. I think that our prayer lives can use some refining. I think that they can always use some refining. Let me give you an illustration, though, of why I think God has made it this way. So I have a son. His name's Reed. You remember him on the screen, little redhead? He's 3 years old. Since the moment he was born, I have loved to talk to the kid. Now, I'm not going to lie, the first couple of months, I was speaking words, and he was speaking lots of goos and gahs, some coos. And you know, at 3 a.m. in the morning, there were screams and screeches, right? But what I noticed from the moment that kid was born, he would look me in the eye, and he would try to have a conversation. He would just make these mumblings, right? And they weren't quite words, but I could tell that he was trying to get me to understand something, whether he was hungry or he pooped or he was pooping or he was hungry, right? It was normally one of those things. But all that to say, we'd have these conversations. As he has grown, though, we've continued the conversation. However, both of our languages has developed and our understanding of each other has developed as well. So now my son is 3 and we have tons of conversations. We have conversations about how to train your dragons or conversations about what he wants to eat for breakfast. We have conversations about how he's trying to become potty trained and it's not really going the way that me and my wife would like, but we're working on it, right? We have these conversations, but what I've noticed about these conversations is even though I have appreciated them more, I love them just the same. All right, picture this, right? The conversation at first was pretty rough, but I loved it. And along the way, the conversations have been more and more refined, and I love it. But one of the things that has happened is that both of us have learned to appreciate those conversations more. Why? Because understanding has happened. The conversation has developed. I think that's what our prayer life needs. Does God love our prayers the more refined they are? No, I don't think so. I think he loves the very broken prayers of a little child. And he loves the very thoughtful prayers of an aged gentleman, right? He loves them both. But there's an appreciation that comes from our part the more we understand who God is and how he hears us. And I would just encourage you with this psalm, Psalm 19:14. The psalmist cries out and he says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The psalmist cries out to God and says, hey, you know what, God? I pray that my words would connect with you and I pray that my heart would connect with you. And sometimes we like to separate the two, right? We like to pray and we think, oh, my words don't matter because my heart's there. Yeah, but can you really appreciate the conversation if your words are so scattered? Or we say, hey, my words are right. I follow the Lord's Prayer. But is our heart activated? All that to say, Jesus' disciples looked at him and said, teach us how to pray. And what he offered them was a prescriptive prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And I just want to share this posture of prescriptive prayer with you all. What is prescriptive prayer? Prescriptive prayer is praying the scriptures. It's utilizing the very words of the Bible in our prayers to kind of springboard into the conversation. Why is this helpful? Well, the first is it gives us the context of the conversation. right? We talked about in the beginning, right? Awkward middle school Bailey. He didn't know the context. He was just trying to fake it till you make it. Praying scripture is a way to help you know what God has said so that you don't just have to hope that your response is what he's looking for. You can read his scripture and then respond to it. The context helps it be far less awkward. But another thing about praying scripture, it helps us know who God is. Bailey didn't know Alyssa, so every conversation was really awkward. And sometimes when you pray, it just feels so awkward. Who is God? Why am I speaking to him? He's listening. I know he loves me. I know he saved me, but what else? Praying scripture gives you a springboard. This is who God is. This is the promises he's given you. This is how his affections are geared towards you. But the last thing about praying scripture is it helps kickstart those complicated conversations. Sometimes we don't like to bring things up, and praying scripture is a way to help us get over that bump. So what is prescriptive prayer? What is praying scripture? What does it look like? I'm going to start off by simply setting the groundwork. The first thing that we need to do in praying scripture is we need to identify where we are at. See, prayer doesn't ignore or avoid our reality. It confronts it head on with the reality of who God is. Prayer isn't our escape from reality. Prayer is how we process reality. So when you pray, think about what you're going through. Identify that thing that is nagging at your heart. And then find parallel prayers or relevant promises in Scripture. Find a passage of scripture that speaks to the problem you are facing. I know what you're saying, okay, but how can this ancient text of scripture help me 2,000 years later? Does it really connect? And all I have to say to that is, hey, I spend my life to study this book, and what I have found is that although the context and the characters and the culture are very different, the experience is remarkably the same. The essence of what the biblical writers were going through is essentially the same things that you and I face on a daily basis. Is it different? Sure. Is it the same? Yes. And so honestly, this can be hard. Okay, so how do I find these passages that connect to my life? I really don't read the Bible very much. I want to kickstart your conversation. I would encourage you to jump into the Psalms. If you open your Bible, right in the middle is this book called the Psalms. It's a selection of the songs of God's people. But one of the things that's interesting about the Psalms is that they are both called songs and prayers. Psalm 72 starts off and says, this is the Psalm of David, but it closes by saying, the prayer of David has ended. See, the Psalms are both songs, but also prayers. And if we can sing them to God, I believe we also can pray them to him as well. I love what Warren Wiersbe said about the Psalms. He said, the book of Psalms has been and still is the irreplaceable devotional guide, prayer book, and hymnal of the people of God. So what I've done for you is, as the past couple of weeks I've been studying the book of Psalms, I've put together kind of a list of prayer prompts for you. So if you have your Northridge Church app, if you go to the notes section, all the way at the bottom, it is going to be a list of Psalms. Psalms that I've compiled to you that as I've studied them, I've recognized that they've connected in certain felt experiences that I've gone through. Things like psalms for when the psalmist had messed up. Psalms for when the psalmist was in trouble or broken, oppressed or needed justice, in the middle of a trial, experiencing relational conflict, wanting God's blessing or not wanting to praise God, doubtful about who God is and his character. So I've put together these psalms that connect to experiences I know that I've been going through. And perhaps as you sit here, you begin to recognize, yeah, you know, my prayer life isn't quite where it needs to be. And I haven't really talked to God about some things. And if you don't feel like you know how to pray, I would encourage you to borrow somebody else's words and springboard from the Psalms. We've talked about identifying where you're at. We're talking about finding parallel prayers or relevant promises in Scripture. The third step is simply this. We pray the Scriptures. Read a Psalm. Meditate, which is just a big word that means to think and to process and to mull over what it means. And then what you need to do with your heart directed towards God is just read those words to God. Read the psalm. It was a prayer thousands of years ago, and let it be a prayer today. Let it be your prayer to God. Use different translations. Different translations offer different insights in what the underlying text is saying. So by praying through a couple different translations, you're given a couple different ways to say the psalm. But ultimately, it culminates in this. And that as you are speaking the psalm in their words, you transition to speaking the psalm in your own words. And connecting what you're going through, the doubts and discouragements that you face, with those that the psalmist addressed. And then just remember that God loves and listens. Now, I know what you're saying. Well, this seems pretty trivial. You're just asking me just to pray psalms? I mean, what of that? I want to show you a story of why I think this could be so helpful for you, because it's been so helpful for me. I showed you a picture of my family at the start, right? My wife, Alyssa, and our three-year-old son, Reed. I love my family. But what you need to know is that Reed isn't my only child. It was just about 2 years ago that me and my wife had to walk through losing our second child due to miscarriage. And I knew God. But in that moment, I did not trust him. I knew how to pray, right? I've been doing it for years. But in that moment, I couldn't muster the words. I saw what my wife had to go through, and I was just broken beyond belief. And I couldn't pray. I didn't know what to say. And I don't know exactly how, but a psalm came to my mind that I had known since a little kid. Maybe it's familiar to some of you. It was Psalm 23, about the Lord being a shepherd. And it's not profound. But I just started praying that psalm. The very words in scripture, I just didn't know what to say, so I borrowed David's, because I remembered that I had learned that he too had lost a kid before. So I prayed Psalm 23. And I prayed Psalm 23. And I prayed Psalm 23. And my situation did not change. But I began to realize that my God loves and listens and is there for me. And my praying the words of the psalmist became praying my own words, my own laments and declaration to Jesus of, hey, Jesus, I don't know how I'm going to get through this, but you are my shepherd. And I want my kid back. I want the emotions to go away. I want my wife to be at peace. I want so much, but you tell me I don't need to want, because you've got me. And Psalm 23 got me through the lowest moment in my life. I don't know what you're going through, but I believe that the thing that will get you through it is an ongoing conversation with God. And you might have just started your faith journey. You say, I don't even know how to pray. Start in the Psalms. Steal somebody else's prayer. Or maybe you say, but Bailey, I've been saved for 50 years. It's cold, it's calloused. Why do I need to pray? Jump into the Psalms. Allow somebody else's words to kickstart the conversation. And we're going to close with this simple posture. I would love to just pray the very psalm that helped me get through my dark moment over the church family. And for you in the room, over those watching in Brighton and Webster and online, I'd love to just close by praying Psalm 23 over you. And then I encourage you, pray scriptures over your life. Let's pray. Yahweh, the Lord is my shepherd. God, you are our shepherd, and you love us and you guide us. We shall not want. You make us lie down in green pastures. You lead us beside still waters, and you desire to restore our souls. You lead us in a path that is righteous and good for your name's sake, because it's who you are. But God, we walk through valleys of the shadow of death. In this room, because of the numbers, those watching, we're going through so many, so many things. I can't even begin to comprehend the weight on the shoulders of us in the room, but this I know, that though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will not fear. Why? Because you are with us and you desire to comfort us. Goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. Although our situation will not change, if Jesus is ours, if we are his, he will be with us forever. We will dwell in your house. God, you love us and you are our shepherd. I claim that promise to be true. I claim that comfort over our lives, and I beg and plead that those in this room, that those in Webster and Brighton and online, grab a hold of you and trust you in every circumstance and pray the scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen.